underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can't use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they need the color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is a fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
So another weekend, another bunch of movies, Dana.
Yeah, why do you want me to hold it?
No, I was just letting you get better audio.
Oh, okay. I'll lean over this way.
So,
we got many dogs on the couch.
Dana wasn't too impressed when I told her this movie, The Stranger.
Was Eli Roth presented.
Yeah, she wasn't. I thought it was decent. I say it was slightly above average for a direct-to-home or, you know, direct-to-DVD type of movie. It was good for a watch, but, you know.
Steve said it had Jake Gyllenhaal's cousin on it. Looked like Jake Gyllenhaal.
And there was really no recognizable actors in it, so I guess that's kind of, you know, at least different. I would assume because of the budget, but, I mean, it had some special effects that were decent. And the story didn't really let you know what was going on until halfway through, so there was like you didn't really know what it was going to be about. Either it was going to be some type of revenge movie.
Yeah, I couldn't figure out for a long time.
But let's just not give away what it's, you know. Unless
I won't.
But what I'll say about the movie is it starts off with this guy I guess he's looking for his wife, and he comes to this house and knocks on the door and asks if so-and-so's there, and they say no, so he leaves. And while he's waiting, he's just sitting there. These punks come over and start messing with him, and then next thing you know, they're stabbing him, beating him up, and
why we don't know.
Because there does have to be the standard assholes.
Well, yeah.
And then the kid that was at the house that he was looking for his wife sees it, and basically he kind of jumps in. He actually doesn't jump. He jump in. He kind of just watches.
Well, he watches from.
And then a cop comes up, which we think maybe he'll, you know, but he's actually that one of the punks' fathers.
Yeah.
So they take the body and dump it somewhere, and then that kid gets it and brings him home, and he's still alive. I just thought, man, this guy's tough or something, but then he kind of disappears, and the punks know that he has him, so. They're getting ready to throw a damn Molotov cocktail in the house. And, you know.
I'll be honest. I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention to it. And I like movies that have a little bit of mystery to it. But this movie got me so confused that I kept asking Steve what was going on it. And well, I don't want to. I don't want to.
I mean, it kind of.
Yeah,
almost,
I don't want to give.
It's kind of almost a little bit like The Guest in a certain way.
Well,
but
I hated The Guest.
Well, I liked The Guest, but there was not a wasn't that much interaction. In The Guest, it was a lot of interaction between the family and this mystery guy. In this one, there was some interaction, but it's not a lot of talking. Really, I mean, there's a lot of.
And was it just me, or did the movie seem kind of slow to like before it started making any kind of sense?
I mean, I don't know about slow, but I mean, it took, I guess so. I mean, but I think that's, there's a difference between like slow and no payoff, and then slow, and then it ramps up.
Yeah,
and
but it was slow and confusing, and then maybe there was a little bit of payoff.
Well,
by then I didn't care.
You didn't watch it all, so you didn't get the full thing. So
I'll admit, I wasn't paying that much attention.
So, I mean, if you see this movie and I say it's worth a watch. It's worth a free Redbox rental if you get one.
A free one?
Well, you can get, if you look on Slick Deals, it's probably, I think there's a free one you can sign up for or something. But anyway, then last night, I watched my, I got the Vinegar Syndrome direct release of Crypt of the Living Dead Blu-ray. Plus, it's got a House of the Living Dead.
That we didn't want.
No. But the thing is, Crypt of the Living Dead, a.k.a. Hannah, Queen of the Vampires, which is the on-screen title for this, so it's kind of strange. And I don't really see any extras on here. Well, they just have a few, like the trailer. So they just have trailers. So
but I thought it looked pretty good for an older movie on Blu-ray.
It, you know, it doesn't look... I would say, yeah, it looks good. There's certain scenes that look better than others, like most of these films that weren't really meant to look pristine, and they're not really in, you know, I'm sure that somebody's not taking Hannah, Queen of the Vampires, and putting it in a vault somewhere to keep it good.
Well, I'm sure they weren't. But I actually liked it pretty well. I was busy.
I think they should have done a double feature of Hannah, Queen of the Vampires, and Simon, King of the Witches, both with Andrew Prine.
Well, that might have been interesting.
But Andrew Prine's in this. At the beginning, we see his father gets killed. He falls down and gets in this vault on this island. And for some reason, this wild-looking guy throws him underneath this...
is that the guy with wearing the fur?
And the patch over his half his face. He throws him underneath this... For why ever they built this big castic thing on legs... They threw him under there and hit it, and then basically it crushed his body and cut his head off. And so they called his son. He comes to the island to get his father out, and I guess get his body out of underneath of that. And when they
is that the only reason that he came?
Yeah. First, how did they know that the thing crushed the body? So it doesn't have a head. So how in the hell did they know it was his father?
Well,
I didn't see anything else sticking out. But anyway. They tried
this guy that looks like, I told Steve, he looked kind of like Frankie Avalon.
Well, yeah, he's Mark Damon.
I didn't know what his real name was.
But when they try to move this castic, and all the people on the island are superstitious, they move the lid because it's so heavy, and then there's a perfectly preserved woman in there from like the 13th century. And, of course, they all say...
She's like 700 years old.
And they say that she's a vampire, and then she starts coming out, and
she turns into a wolf.
Yeah.
Kills this blind man's dog. I didn't like that.
Special effects in here kind of not are iffy, but, I mean, that's the 70s, so it's a little trippy. But she didn't say anything. And then did you watch the end of it when she turned into a big meathead?
I didn't see that, but it was like... I saw the very, very end of it.
But it was okay, and I mean...
Oh, yeah, I did see that. Yeah. Wasn't it like she was caught on fire or something?
Yeah. Well, okay. We're spoiling the movie, but whatever. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay.
But it was decent, and I had this movie before because I really wanted to see it underneath the Hannah Queen of the Vampires title. I bought it somewhere, and it looked, you know, it was full screen, I think, and it looked really dark. This is...
And Steve only watched a few minutes of it.
I kept falling asleep because, I mean, I just was really tired. But this one definitely, they've did a good transfer for it. I don't know about House of the Living Dead yet. Maybe we'll watch that later, but I want to watch the Blu-ray of Werewolf Woman, Dana.
Yeah, I don't know what to say about that. Maybe later.
Maybe later.
Maybe later I'll be able to say something about it. But I know what I can talk about. I can talk about some of the Blu-rays that I got in and tell what I think of the transfer. Because I recently got Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3 from Shout Factory, Scream Factory, whatever you want to say. And I got Scarecrows also, but I haven't watched it yet. But I was a little disappointed in the transfer of Sleepaway Camp 2, especially. But maybe that's the only, you know, good copy they, or halfway decent copy they could get of it. Some shots were good, and some shots, like the beginning shot where they're all around the campfire, wasn't too good. It was almost as grainy as I remember the old VHS being. Almost, but not quite. And I watched part of Sleepaway Camp 3, and the transfer on it is slightly better so far. But then I'll have to tell everybody about Scarecrows when I watch it. But there are a few new extras on the Sleepaway Camp stuff. They actually talked to Kim Wall, who was the snooty rich girl that was a cheerleader on part 3. And they talked to that Mark Oliver, who played the, Tony, I think.
Tony
De La Rera, or whatever his name was on there. Okay.
What do you think about this thing where it lets you pee straight standing up?
Are we going to leave this in the show?
Yeah. What do you think about that? It's a funnel thing that you stick near your vag and you can pee standing up. What do you think about that? It's called Go Girl.
I don't think I need to do that.
Oh, okay. It's pink.
Pee sitting down.
Oh. So can I, by the way.
Yeah, but men naturally stand up and pee.
It depends how tired I am.
I'll
set the fuck down.
I don't want to go into details.
All right. Okay. Wes poops standing up. Did you know that?
I really don't care.
Okay,
about that.
But that's a tip he had. But so.
Is there anything that we didn't talk about?
No, nothing comes to the mind. Been broke this weekend. That Days of Dead's next weekend, so we'll probably have that part of this show.
Yeah.
And we're going to meet Kim from Death Proof.
And Angus Graham.
And Joe Bob.
Joe Bob Briggs. I'm finally going to meet him this time. If something don't happen.
So that's our big event.
Is John
Amplis
back there?
Yes.
Okay. Might meet John Amplis.
So we're going to be busy and have some stuff going on from there, so
we'll spend way too much money, probably.
Yeah, so we'll be back after this.
You found me beautiful once,
honey. You got real ugly.
Wolf Woman, Dana.
Yeah. And that was not a horror movie, Steve.
And there's not much werewolf women in this.
It's a lot of nakedness, sleaziness.
Yeah. At the beginning, I guess she was having a dream that she was a werewolf woman naked and had really weird-looking boobies. But other than that...
And evidently something hanging out of her vagina.
No, that was in the hospital.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean,
yeah,
it happened. Because she said, what is that?
It was something white, so it could have been a tampon string, a 70s tampon string. But anyway, apparently she just kind of nutsoid and sex a nympho.
But didn't her dad say that she had gotten raped or something, and it made her have problems? But it was like she was over sex. She was like having sex with everybody.
She was crazy. She ended up killing her sister's boyfriend and then on the run and meets up with the guy from, the sleazy guy from New York Ripper.
Yeah.
Who tied that chick up in the hotel room and then,
there's all kinds of sleaziness
yes,
in this movie.
Yes.
And it even says on the back of the case that it's sleazy and...
Well, that's true. I thought the Blu-ray looked really, really good.
It did, but...
And luckily, I didn't spend a lot on it.
And it's a Quentin Tarantino favorite, evidently. Why, I don't know, but... You know.
I don't know. It's just a wild, wacky movie, so... it's interesting.
Did they show a lot of feet? I don't know.
No.
You know how Tarantino...
No, no feet.
Is.
No, not a lot. I don't believe so. Then I watched, which you didn't really watch much of, was that Lycanthropy, Paul Naschy werewolf movie.
I watched some of it.
Again, from 1996.
Every movie with Paul Naschy on it during a certain time frame was a werewolf movie.
Yeah. And this one is, I would say it's not a great one. I mean, it was just interesting to watch it, but, I don't think I'll need to see it again. There's another killer out, and then he turns into a werewolf, but, it's hard to tell if he's the one killing, I don't think he's the one killing these people, mm-hmm. And it was another mass killer, so it's almost like a police crime movie with a werewolf thrown into it,
mm-hmm.
And I think that was, since that was 96, I think that was kind of like Silence of the Lambs and some other movies that came out, and I guess that kind of influenced this movie a lot. It was okay.
But no offense to Paul Naschy or anything, but Silence of the Lambs is a lot better movie than that was.
Imagine how great that movie is, but with werewolves too.
If there were werewolves in addition to the, like,
yes,
the cannibalism. And
well, Hannibal Lecter was a werewolf. See? That makes it a whole lot better. But anyway.
They could have made Buffalo Bill a werewolf.
Yeah. Or I thought it was going to say Buffalo Wild Wings, but... Also, what did I do today, this morning? I don't know, but I watched the Raid 2.
Yeah, but you watched something before. What was that weird thing that samurai something?
Oh, yeah, thank you. Well, I'll just talk about the Raid 2 first. Raid 2 was... first, I watched it with the English dub, which...
It was a lot easier to watch with
Well, it was
dub.
A lot easier to follow because you're trying to... I mean, most of the action doesn't have any dialogue anyway, but it just gives your eyes a little rest, even though it is distracting.
You're not having to concentrate
so
much on what's being said.
And again, I think that I liked it a little bit more this time because I wasn't in the theater and sitting on my butt for 2.5 hours or 3 hours
and
with trailers.
And you can pause it and go to the bathroom if you have to.
But I think there's a couple... I just think it should have been trimmed down a little bit. There's one character that's like a long-haired old killer.
Oh, yeah.
And his arc didn't really... It could be cut out of this movie and make no difference to the film. I think that should have been cut out, and that would have cut
but
out
the woman
10 minutes,
walking around
15
with
minutes, 20 minutes, and that would have been under about a little over 2 hours.
The woman walking around with the huge dildo or whatever it was that...
Well...
I don't see what I had to do with anything.
it was just showing what they were doing there. I mean, I don't see that, but I mean, as far as major time killer, I think that guy.
I didn't even remember that when we went to see it in the theater.
I think I remember it, but it was. Yeah, but well, the thing was, there's probably people talking over it, so you couldn't really look. Mm-hmm. You're probably trying to read the subtitles.
But, I thought maybe that was when I went to the bathroom.
But it's really still as brutal as ever. I don't think it's as good as the first one, even though the fights are pretty elaborate and go on for quite a while. But it's worth a watch, and I think it was under about $10 or so. So it's definitely worth that.
Really? That cheap?
Yeah, it kind of was at one point on Amazon. I gave, that's what I waited for the original Raid to go down to $10. Okay, now, the movie I did watch, which I was reading some stuff about and just happened to see it.
And I can't say I watched any of it. I saw the end.
It's called, it's a German movie, and it's like Der Samurai, so The Samurai, right? It starts off where this young police officer, and he's hanging meat in a bag, and it's for a wolf. He's trying to feed a wolf. I don't know why. I guess his theory is if he feeds the wolf out in the woods, he won't try to go into town and go into people's yards
and kill people.
Well, kill dogs or hurt people, whatever. Them. So anyway, he gets some kind of package in the mail, and for some reason he's got it's addressed to Lone Wolf. So which is a kind of a thing to a samurai because of the Lone Wolf and Cub movie series. So I didn't really think about that until just now. But anyway, for some reason I can't remember because it's subtitled because it's German. He takes it out in the woods to this remote house. And it's really run down, and then he takes it up, and he finds this person sitting in front of a mirror and it looks like Courtney Love from the back. She's got like a white dress on with the blonde hair, but when the person talks and turns around a little bit, it's a guy in a dress. So it's a guy in a dress. Okay. So, he gives him the package. And then the guy, him and a cop have a conversation, and he basically says he doesn't live, it's not his house, the cop's saying, well, you're trespassing, you're going to have to leave now, or something like that. The guy opens the guy in the dress opens the package, and it's a samurai sword. And that cop doesn't have a gun on him for some reason, I guess maybe over in Germany, I don't know what the deal is there. But, so he's like, shit, and then he leaves. And most of the movie is him falling around the guy, in the
That's
dress.
That's that blonde guy, right?
Yeah. And the guy in the dress with the samurai sword, while he, cuts dogs' heads off, and at some points he just starts murdering people left and right. Now, so I won't give any more away, but there is some kind of weird thing going on at the end, but, it's just
That's what I saw, and I was
there. And there's some cool scenes where somebody gets decapitated and the blood just sprays out like one of the old samurai movies.
Yeah.
So, it's an interesting movie. I downloaded some podcasts to listen to when I drive around this week, and one of them was talking about that, so I want to hear what their thoughts are on it as well, so we'll see.
I don't know where Steve finds all these podcasts, but
well, on Facebook there's Horror Podcast Central. So if you just go to that page, people post all their podcasts on there, so you can sometimes find them. And
I know Steve had asked somebody a question about, I forget which podcast this was, but you asked them if you could listen to it online or download it or something.
Well, I'm having problems with Firefox, but I think that I...
Yeah, on a side note, Firefox used to be really good. What happened to it?
I don't know, but mine on my computer is a little flaky now, but the one in the other computer
is fine. Well, I'm having to use Chrome on my tablet now.
Well, I got to use Chrome as a backup just to download some certain things, but... Nate jumped down off that chair like a ninja. Didn't make a bit of noise. One other movie that I watched a little bit of was called American Guinea Pig. Now, do you ever heard of those Japanese gore movies?
But I've never watched
them. No, I ain't either, because but this is the like American thing. You know, it looks really weird because it's really. I don't think they. It's hard to look. It's hard to see if they actually filmed it digitally and then messed it up so it looked that bad. But
is it going to be like real gory? Like, yeah. What was that? What was that thing we saw? Shoot, I can't even remember the name of it.
You'll have to give me some details.
Well, it was real bloody, like that Adam Chaplin movie.
Oh, was it Tater City?
Yeah, Tater City.
That sucked. Even though it was
put. I know it sucked. But
that sucked. I mean, Adam Chaplin.
I didn't like Adam Chaplin.
I thought, for some reason, I liked it. I mean, it's not great or anything, but I liked it, and it's. I like the way it's filmed. It's really filmed kind of. I don't know how some of the things they did. I don't know how they did them, as far as the techniques and stuff. But you know, it was all right. But
I like well placed gore.
This stuff kind of looked like it was going to be like, I don't know, August Underground or some type of gore that's going to be.
Well, you don't even like
realistic. That's why I didn't watch it all, because I didn't want to even deal with it. And people, it's only like 70, 75 minutes at the most.
Was that what you were watching last night?
No.
Oh.
And I was like, who in the fuck's going to pay all this money for this? And first, if they're selling on Blu-ray, I don't think they are. But if they were, they would be stupid because it's made to look bad.
There'd be some crazy people that would get it, huh?
What I was watching last night was Gutter Balls. And
God, I hate that movie.
I thought that was going to be so much more interesting than what it was.
You had never seen that before?
Evidently, what I was watching was the cut version, because I remember seeing penetration.
There was penetration. There was doing 69. There was all kinds of stuff.
Oh, I saw that part. I did see the 69.
Mm-hmm. I was like,
but really? I don't understand. The girl was raped,
mm-hmm.
which is really brutal, by the way, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you would say this is more brutal or it's on the equal pain of I Spit on Your Grave or not. I don't know. But but why is the killer killing everybody? I mean, I didn't watch it all, so I don't know who the killer is or anything. I just got so tired, and I was like, I think I gave up after the transsexual guy got killed. And I was like, well, why are they killing? Why would the killer kill him?
Well,
unless this has nothing to do with the rape, because if it's doing the rape, these people were the girl's friends,
mm-hmm.
and it's not like it's their fault that she got raped. She's the one that went back in.
Because I only watched it one time, and I got it in for review, like when I was doing my fanzine, and that's the only it's not like I would have bought, and I thought, well, this might be interesting. Because I want to,
you know, what they call it, it's a slasher, And the killer is wearing like a freaking golf bag as a mask. I mean, that's kind of goofy, but I don't know. Maybe I'm just wrong, but a lot of the characters in there are not hardly.
They're not likable. No, they're not. That's the big problem I had with it.
Even the good kids are supposedly good kids.
There are no good kids. Well, no. But they're all a bunch of douchebags.
I know. They don't. None of all of them are smart asses, and
uh-huh,
they exactly. don't. They. When they have like that fight or whatever it happens at the beginning, it escalates because they keep going back and forth. It's not like someone is doing it for the good. They're just doing it because
see that I wasn't the only person that thought about that movie. I figured Steve would be on the other end of the spectrum and be liking it real well.
I mean, I don't know. I can't remember the gore or nothing, so I can't argue or say anything about that. I know that they were trying to do a sequel to it. I don't think they were trying to do a Kickstarter or something.
But what's really sad is most Canadian slasher movies I like, but this one.
Well, I mean, it'd be cool if they got like some people that knew what they were doing. But
I was thinking J-Dog really liked it.
Well, maybe it depends on if whether you say, well, these guys, everyone's an asshole, so I just want to see them all get killed.
That might have been
I don't think that's...
That might have been what was interesting for some people. But I don't like all the characters to be assholes. Some of them can be assholes, and other people can be the ones you can kind of...
But I don't... See, like I say, I didn't watch the whole movie, so I don't know what the motivation of the killer was, because And because if it was something to do with the girl getting raped, she comes back.
Yeah.
And and I don't know why you would come back to the day after you just got raped by a bunch of dudes.
And is it? Am I remembering right? Did she not even really act like somebody that had been raped after it? After it was done over with and.
She confronted the one dude with glasses in the elevator about it, but that was about it. At least that's about it is what I saw because I was tired.
I mean, the thing that I liked about I Spit on Your Grave was definitely not the gang rape. It was this woman kicked ass and got revenge for what the awful things they did to her. This movie didn't even have that.
Right. So, next weekend we're hopefully going to Days of the Dead. Dana's gonna hopefully meet Angus Grimm.
Well, I got a ticket to meet him.
You got a ticket to ride?
Yeah. Ride all the way to Indianapolis.
Yeah. So, we'll be back, Friday night before. Hopefully.
And then we'll probably do some.
Yeah, we'll have some, stuff and then, see how it goes, but we'll be back after this.
Bye.
I've been told by those who should know that the most exquisite African flesh in the state of Tennessee is bred right here on your land.
And from the look of these black angels, my sources weren't wrong.
They weren't just a damn whistling. Oh, I got my share of coal blacks and horse faces and gummy mouth bitches out there in the field, but the lion's share of my lady niggas is real show ponies.
Well, that's what I'm looking for. A show pony for young Django.
Ah.
So the only question that remains is,
do you have a nigga here worth $5,000?
Dr. Schultz, $5,000 nigga is practically my middle name.
Dana, let's talk about the movie that, I don't know, did you watch all the movie last night called Perfect Victims?
Oh, I started to say, what movie was it? And I remember now.
Now you remember because it's crazy.
Yeah, because the killer had very corny one-liners.
I don't think he had a whole bunch of them.
Well, okay.
Did he really kill? He killed a few people, but it starts off with these models moving to Los Angeles.
And they're really ditzy.
And they moved in to this apartment, and these movers, I guess one of them sees the picture and thinks about it. And then he comes back, and he drugs them and then rapes one.
He drugs their milk.
Yeah, he drugs the milk, and then they think, and then one of them has a baby, and that's the one he kind of messes with.
Yeah, the blonde has a baby.
And we later find out he has AIDS.
And I'm like, I can understand somebody being, you know, angry that they have AIDS, but I couldn't understand somebody being that vengeful.
And he's like, he has a coworker he was yelling at early in the movie. Then he goes to the trouble of hiring a hooker to get him in a room so he can kill him. Now I don't understand why he'd go to all that trouble. Then he kills the hooker. Then he tracks down the models come out and they stay with their bosses.
Is he the guy with the dogs?
Yeah, they stay there. I guess her boyfriend or husband or whatever. And then he comes there. All in all, it was just I don't know what you would call it, if it's a good movie or not, but it's kind of
Did they ever explain how he got AIDS?
No, I didn't hear it, but I assume that some woman gave it to him, and then now he's lashing out at all women. But I'm just guessing. But I mean, that would make the most sense. Now, whether or not that's what the movie said.
They're all whores and stuff.
Oh, they are all whores. But,
I mean, that was his.
Oh, you mean, oh, okay. But yeah.
Within the context of that movie.
Context, then. It's all about the context.
Yeah.
So, bringing us forward to today, we've been gone for goddamn 9 hours.
It's a little bit after 10 this morning.
Yeah. Went to Days of the Dead in Indianapolis, Indiana. So,
and Steve, I'll just tell you first off, Steve was disappointed that Tracy Tom canceled.
Yeah.
She was the chick from Death Proof, one of the second set of girls.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you know what?
I wasn't so much aggravated at the fact that she canceled. I was disappointed for Steve.
Well, that's okay.
I'm not really putting down the promoter or anything, but why on earth did they not put that on their website?
Well,
or
they had something.
Facebook?
They had something for some Imogene something or other.
That was that chick from The Shining. That canceled due to illness.
Okay. Well, they had some kind of like handwritten note up there where you get tickets, and I thought, well, if that's up there, surely, Tracy Tom canceled, they'd put her name up there.
Either that, or maybe that was that girl from Hellraiser 2.
I think she had
a bunch of airplane delays.
Yes, it was her, and that was what they were saying us about delays. But so I don't know, but whatever.
But we heard through the grapevine that Tracy Tom came.
It always seems like every time I go to Days of Dead, there's one person either I'm interested in seeing what they look like or I want to get an autograph from that I can never find. So, I'm not sure.
So, unfortunately, I was disappointed for Steve because his day didn't exactly go the way that he had planned.
No, but just to harp on me for a minute.
Yeah.
I did make some purchases. Now, I went to, only went to one, and I went to the Severin table, and they had an amazing deal for me, at least.
I thought it was amazing.
Three of anything for $40, plus they gave us a free Blu-ray of Hardware, which I immediately gave to Dana because I do not like that movie. But
I'm going to give it a try.
Now, the movies I got was In the Land of the Cannibals, which they were explaining that this is basically a remake of Predator, but with cannibals instead of the Predator.
And it are really bad
and
movie,
it's a Bruno,
probably.
One of the last Bruno Mattei
movies. Oh, God, it's a Bruno Mattei movie.
Or Vincent Dawn, whichever you want.
Lord.
So, that's awesome. I said, because he was talking about it to the guy in front of us, and I go, you gotta tell me which one you're talking about. And I said, I thought it was this one, just from where the movies were laying. Mm-hmm. I said, I want that. And then,
but how is a cannibal movie like Predator?
I don't know, but we'll definitely watch it tonight. Uh-huh. But anyway, these other two, I've wanted to get at least, cause they're on Blu-ray discs. Are these on Blu-ray discs?
Well, I hope they are, cause I asked you if it was Blu-ray.
You see. I'm pretty sure they are.
Well, it says 1080p, full HD resolution, so I'm
pretty
say
sure
yes.
They are. The cases are not really giving you any indication, but these are other Jess Franco movies, but they're with Soledad Miranda, which she only made a handful of movies, and every freaking, even the new, this came out, I think I got an old copy, I'm not sure if it was from Image, and then Synapse put them out, and they were all full-framed editions. Now, from my understanding, these are widescreen, so I'm just like, but anyway, She Killed in Ecstasy and Vampire Lesbos, and then these things go for over $45 together. If you bought them together. So,
we saw actually another table had the Vampiro Lesbos and they wanted $20 for it.
Which is still a couple bucks under what they are on Amazon, but for getting these three movies for $40 plus the other one, is just a very great deal. And I mean, obviously, or honestly, I'm going to, you know, if I'm going to go to a convention and make sure that, you know, if Severin's supposed to be there, I'm probably just going to get him buy stuff that way instead of actually buying it. Because, I mean, I could have got that Hot Nights of Linda, which I spent like $26 on. I could have got that. And with these three for $40, that would have been like $60 or $70.
And every time we go to Severin's table, they always give us a free one.
Yeah, they always do, because I think they gave us a free one last time, and I don't want the last one.
I got Screwballs.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
you got Screwballs on Blu-ray and gave it to me.
Yeah, that's it. They gave us a free Screwballs. I remember that. So, I mean, obviously we bought some movies before there, because I remember that now. So, really, I looked around. There's some posters and stuff, but really, this is all I...
And Steve thought he found the teddy bears that I like, but I have not found those chicks again that had the teddy bears that were covered in the scented wax.
I think they got covered with wax and then, you know. But anyway, Dana, go ahead and talk about your three autograph experiences.
Well, I had a very awesome and fruitful day as far as getting autographs. Joe Bob Briggs was there, and why on earth I never went up to Joe Bob Briggs before he was.
Well, like you're saying, I'm intimidated for some reason. Or
I wasn't intimidated. I just, for some reason, when I went up to
nervous.
Him, I was nervous.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't know why, because he was very nice.
Yeah.
His real name is John Bloom, but he uses the Joe Bob Briggs persona for almost everything he does. But I think I saw, like, the real guy when I was talking to him today.
Yeah.
Because he, you know, he's not this redneck, you know, Texan guy that talks bad about women and stuff like that. He made jokes and stuff, but it was very low-key, and he talked about literature, and he talked about where he grew up, which is Arkansas, and asked me where I was from and made a joke, you know, about where I was from. And of course, I don't try to, like, monopolize these people's time or call somebody that might be coming up there to meet them to have to wait on my ass for 20 or 30 minutes while I'm blabbing, so basically, what I did was I went up and shook his hand, and we talked a little bit, and he signed my copy of Joe Bob Goes to the Drive-In, and then Steve got a really good picture of us together. And I got all that for $10, right?
Yeah.
So I was amazed at the price. I was expecting it to be at least 20, so I was kind of surprised. And he also had hardcover copies of his books on the table as well, if somebody wanted to get those. Because Steve had got me, he had pre-ordered the autograph ticket for Angus Grimm, because I thought you had to have an autograph ticket if you were going to meet him, but as it turned out, there were some people in line that didn't have those tickets. But,
well, they didn't. I guess assume that there was a certain amount of them they didn't sell out, so...
I guess so.
But
we got in line for Angus Grimm, and
Dana was probably in line for at least 45 minutes or more, over an hour, was it?
Like, total, or are you talking about the first time?
First
around?
Time.
Well, yeah, I was probably in line, at least, and the line was moving really, really slow. But Angus Grimm is not a spring chicken anymore, for one thing. I heard he's 88 years old.
He was wearing a suit, plus he had a sweater over his shoulders.
And I saw a walker, one of those new types of walkers. So he's probably not getting around quite as well as he used to. But he was taking his time with all the fans. And I did not realize that he had a panel to go to. So at 2 o'clock, they had to stop the autograph signings and let him go to this panel, and then he was supposed to come back at 3. And so they numbered everybody's tickets that were in line.
I mean,
which I don't know if that helped or not. Or
no, that helped, because if not, you would have never. Because we got back in line, and Dana, we waited, and then they brung us up a little bit, and
And then we heard that he was going to have to go do a photo op at 4.
We were in line for a little over an hour, and then by the time, you know, he had to be gone in 5 minutes, and we luckily got up.
Well, I asked the lady that was taking the tickets, I said, do I need to go ahead and give you this? And she looked at the time. She said, yeah, we'll go ahead and get you
in. So I think they got one more person in, and then we had to go. So.
And then these other people were going to have to come back.
They were going to do that again. Mm-hmm. So it was like some people had done, that'd been their second time.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what are you going to do? There's a big line for Tobin Bell, which me and Dana both
which
don't have no clue.
Which we thought that was ridiculous.
Was it $50? Or what was his? $40.
Which it was $10 more than Angus Scrimm.
Right.
Which is just ridiculous.
I mean, if you think of horror movies and who had the bigger role.
And Ric Flair was there, and his autograph was $50. If you wanted a picture and an autograph, it was $80.
That was a convention deal.
Or
show deal. But I heard Ric Flair go, woo! Because some hot chick kissed him, but his wife was right there, so.
Yeah, so.
But anyway.
But.
It was pretty cool to be that close to Ric Flair, because at one point he was.
Well, Sid Haig was behind us.
Yeah.
Dude. And we were real close to Bill Moseley.
Yeah, we were. I mean, but the thing about this convention is it's very cramped. I mean, the hallways are pretty much, you have to go to hall, they're using the hallways as lines.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody
would come around, you're going to have to move close to the wall, got to keep the pathways open, and I'm like.
So it's just, that part I did not care for, but you know, I know I've been in worse places, so there's not much you can do. But,
Bill Moseley was being inundated with a lot of ladies. I noticed. there were a lot of ladies in his line.
But, you said you already talked about meeting Angus Scrimm.
I'll just say real quickly, it was a real treat getting to meet Angus Scrimm. He was a very sweet man, very gentlemanly. He signed my sphere. So I have Don Coscarelli signing and Angus Scrimm signing. And I'm planning to get the rest of the signatures at Scarefest if everything pans out. And I was able to get a picture with him and didn't have to pay for an extra photo op. He was allowing you to take pictures of this.
Well, I don't know. But, but Dane also got to meet,
the great John Amplis, who, I told Steve this and Steve kind of laughed, and I told John Amplis about it when I met him.
And he kind of laughed.
Yeah, but he said it was very sweet though.
Yeah, he said I liked it. I like Martin fans, and then when you told him that, he goes, I like,
I like that too.
I like that too.
But I told him that I'd always had a crush on him after I seen him in Martin, because I have an attraction for men that are kind of, I guess, low key, maybe kind of shy, and so, because that's how I am. I'm a shy person. Of course, Steve would probably beg to differ with me right now. But
yeah, well, the shyness wore off. She's
I'm no longer shy with
you're
Steve.
You're hell on wheels.
But Steve is a shy person, really. I mean,
well, in big groups of people, I'm not too outgoing. I don't like.
That's probably something that attracted me to Steve, and that's probably part of the reason we're married now.
Because I couldn't say no.
No, just because you're a sweet, low-key, shy person. I mean, and I like that. But anyway, John Amplis was a really, really sweet man. You can tell he must enjoy going to these conventions and meeting fans. The same thing about Angus Scrimm. For Angus Scrimm to probably not in the best health of his life, and he's still, you know, coming to these.
Yeah, things. I mean, there's no, why would he come to convention? I mean, when you're 88, you're winding down, and
mm-hmm.
But it must be either the fact that he must like it in some way, or get something, some energy, or some kind of. I would be pretty humbled to see how many people were standing in line, you know, for hours wanting to
mm-hmm.
to beat him.
And when you get up there, He doesn't act like he's going to rush you along or anything.
I'm not saying he wasn't, but, I mean, I don't think he's rushing anything. I mean, he's not, he just, he, I mean, I think, I'm not sure, I'm not saying he's not nice, but I'm just saying that he's slowed down, so he's not really, there's no way he's going to be rushing anybody doing anything.
And they were asking the lady that was there with him if she needed help getting him to the photo op and stuff like that. So, evidently, he's not getting around too good on his own.
If he's got to have a walker, which, be honest with you, I think I probably need a walker because my legs were killing me and I would have freaking sat down in that thing if I could.
But back to John Amplis before I get through here. Steve asked him about Tim Gross.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's basically in the same area as Tim, right?
Yeah, and he goes to that horror realm thing up Pittsburgh.
Yeah, he asked if, well, he asked us if we had ever been to horror realm, and that's not something that ever been able to go to.
I have not been up north, at north, you know, maybe one of these days, but... Not yet.
But a very all around great experience for me. I mean, I don't think I've ever went to a show where, I mean, all the guests that I've met have been nice, but I don't think I've ever went to a show where it was this much fun for me. I don't think.
Well, let me tell you about show that some things from the show that. I've never seen so many damn mohawks in my freaking life.
Mohawks and tattoos.
Oh, God. People would... do you have to... there was people walking around...
With their ears tattooed, tattoos.
Honestly, you have tattoos on your shoulders, on your chest, and this chick had to have some kind of green nothing on her earlobe inside her ear. It's like, I'm sorry, but are you seriously that was some, you had to have that? Or was that some fucking freebie that they threw in and says, we're almost out of ink. Well, I got a little bit left. Do you want to put it somewhere?
It's not cake icing.
I mean, there's just way too much. And the way the people, some of these people walking around, I saw some retards.
Were dressed? Are you going to talk about how they were? Because I'm not a good looking person. I do not have a perfect figure, so
but
I'm not.
There's a lot. That's one thing. Yeah, there's a lot of women wearing shit they should not be wearing. I mean, I'm sorry if you're a little bigger. Get something that fits. Don't get something that's gonna like squeeze you in and have a fucking muffin top coming around your waist.
If your ass is very big and it's hanging, I mean, the whole bottom half of your ass is hanging out of your really short shorts, and your legs are big. That does not look attractive. I'm sorry. Wear jeans or something, or wear some shorts that fit you better.
Is it necessary to, if you do get tattoos, you have to have every one of them showing? Because these chicks
wear these low cut.
Well, yeah. And this fat chick had these big droopy titties and had fucking green tattoos on her titties. And it's like, what in the hell were you thinking that was a great idea to have your droopy titties tattooed with big green globs? It looked like fucking Slimer on each boob.
And it might be that these women have a belief system that women are supposed to have that, hey, my body looks awesome. I'm going
to
go.
You don't have to be, hate your body, but you're going to, I mean, that to me, you're not hating your body, but you got a disbelief that either you think you're hot or that somehow, that's hot to see some green blobs
or
on your big flappy titties.
Gentlemen that you're meeting at this convention want to see your boobs hanging out at them.
It's a good boobs, yes, but no, that ain't no good boobs, big fatties. And tattoos like everywhere. I mean, how much money have you wasted on fucking tattoos?
I'm not putting down tattoos.
I'm not putting down tattoos, but I mean, to an extent where you're probably driving some shitty ass car. I'm just suggesting.
You're spending all your money on conventions and tattoos.
I don't know. I just don't know what to say about it. It's just ridiculous looking to me, but.
But I saw some women, just like that one woman that went up to Bill Moseley. She was dressed decently, but she was an attractive woman. She had a little girl with her, and I saw her talking to Bill Moseley. That's fine. I don't see why everybody can't do that. She looked attractive without having all her body parts hanging out.
Tattoos, mohawks, and beards. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about fucking Duck Dynasty shit and beards. I mean, what are you, why? Is it fucking winter yet? No, that shit, it took you a couple, it took you 3 years to grow
and
that fucking shit.
And one dude had an Amish beard.
Yeah, I mean, come on. What the hell? I see people at fucking work, they had their head shaved, but they got a damn giant ZZ Top beard. Now, what the hell?
I think they think it makes them look tough. Some people do.
I don't know. They don't look, I just think that they are, and I don't know. It's just, but I mean, I know certain conventions bring out certain people, but geez, we run into people who are halfway normal looking, and then you got these people running around like that, and then they have a fucking kid, and you can't even see their fucking hands because their hands are tattooed up. Mm-hmm. And neck tattoos and face tattoos. Guess what? You're not going to get a guy. You're probably going to get a job at fucking the fry guy at fucking McDonald's if you're lucky with tattoos on your face. You're not going to be working as a lawyer with tattoos all over, covering your freaking hands. You're just not.
Well, I hate to say it, and I'm not, it might not be so of all these people, but some of them are probably living on welfare.
I don't know. I mean, obviously, the first thing that comes to my mind when I see somebody with a facial tattoo, they might be a fucking mechanic if you're lucky to make that making decent money, or worse, they're working at fucking, you know, some low end job because there's just no way you can get a job looking like that.
Now, we have friends that have good jobs and they have tattoos, but their tattoos aren't. They're not on their face for one thing.
Well, I see people that fucking had a tattoo all over their body, except around their neck. No facial tattoos, no hand tattoos. Everything else was tattooed, their chest. But they wore suits and stuff like that. I mean, you can do whatever you want, but if you do something like that, you're going to limit yourself, but at least as far as making good money. Unless you own your own business or own a bike shop or some bullshit like that where it's more accepted.
Or you do horror conventions or something like that. I mean.
Or you sell shit at horror conventions.
Well, yeah.
That's the only other couple options.
But I didn't see. I saw a few neat things at the vendor tables, but there wasn't anything I couldn't live without. So, needless to say, I didn't buy anything. You know, I picked up a few things and looked at them, and Steve was like, "You want me to buy you that?" I'm like, "No." I think I've gotten to the point in my life where just because it's horror, I don't have to have everything. Just because. You know, there's more important things that we have to buy and we have to think about.
Especially when it cost you $60 for, you know, two people to get in.
And Steve paid all that.
So, I mean, that's just crazy.
And I appreciated every penny that he spent because I had a really good time, really good experience. I just wish he had gotten to interact more with some guests. He hadn't met Joe Bob before, and I told him if he wanted to get his autograph or something, his autograph was just $10, so.
I don't know. I mean,
Or we could have got a picture with him, you know.
It's all right. I mean, I wanted to make sure you had a good time.
I mean, the lady that was with him probably would have taken your phone, took both our pictures with him.
Everything was fine. I'm happy to get some kind of good deals and some movies to watch, so I'm happy with that. So I'm good.
So what was your overall consensus of this year's Days of the Dead?
I don't know. I mean, to me, this is almost just like Horror Hound. It's where you got a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Days of the Dead, when we first started going, was not that cramped, for one thing.
Or I don't remember it being that
way. No, I've been there when it wasn't that cramped. I think that certain, for some reason, Tobin Bell and then Angus Grimm was the ones that
my
really
God, so
it.
Tobin Bell's line was wrapped clear. It I was could, worse than Angus Grimm's line.
I know, and it's, and I think, I bet he demanded a room.
Yeah, because they didn't they say he had a room all to himself?
Yeah, I saw him in there. I actually saw him.
Oh, God.
I just...
You know, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to people or anything, but, I mean, Steve pretty much said it all. It's like, what the hell has he done since the Saw movies? I mean, what's the big deal?
I mean,
it wasn't like he was a character that, to me, was... one that you're going to remember for years to come. He's not iconic, you know. Angus Grimm was
well,
the tall man. That's
his,
iconic, I think.
I think his voice in the movies, you know, do you want to play a game and all that bullshit. But the thing is, what has he been in since? And that either gives me two things. Either no one's offered him roles, and maybe the reason they're not is because he's difficult to work with, or... Mm-hmm. He just doesn't want to do it for some reason, or some may be sick. Maybe there's some reason why he's not working. But you know, when I saw him sign somewhere on TV, and he had his iPod in, and he was just signing. So maybe he's changed his ways, and he's a lot more friendly now. I don't know, but you know, I'm
but
just
when
not
they
interested.
Can't take off the friggin' headphones to their iPod to pay attention to you for at least 2 seconds. Then I don't have any use for somebody like that.
Well, I don't either. I'm not going to... I felt ripped off when I got like Chris Sarandon. He didn't pay a damn bit of attention to me. Linda Blair didn't pay... I didn't have any interaction with her. And that just really pissed me off.
Well, I didn't have any interaction with Linda Blair because I didn't go up that... That was my first year at Fright Night. And I was like kind of... I was starstruck by everything. I hadn't been to a... convention that big, and so you know it was just a whole new thing for me.
The whole new world.
Yeah, Steve, go ahead, sing it.
No, it's a whole new world.
Shelby's gonna call up Steve.
That's all I know.
And get mad at him.
But I think we're gonna take a break.
Yeah, we've been talking for almost 30 minutes
About nothing.
About mostly Days of the Dead.
So we'll be back after this.
Bye.
And coming on stage, it's No Show for Sissies. See two out of this world horror shows in person. See Dr. Ragnar and his Nightmare of Movie Monsters. You'll see the screen's latest and most horrible movie monsters alive in person. See the teenage Frankenstein, the fly, the colossal beast, the daughter of Dracula, Rodan, and the flying monster. These monsters are not on film, but alive in person on the stage and in the audience. See what happens when teenage Frankenstein meets Dracula's daughter. All this plus stage show number 2, Spooks Are Poppin'. We warn you, this is the most on stage, in person, 2 blood-warming horror shows.
I bet Danielle and Christy
are ready to go.
Dana.
What?
I'm recording again.
Oh. Steve didn't warn me in time.
So we tried to watch Fair Game. Did you watch any much of it?
I don't even remember.
Okay. I watched a little bit. It's from 1986. It's an Australian movie.
Oh, yeah, I remember it now. He said Australian.
Somebody shot a kangaroo, and this chick found it on her property.
Guys went apeshit.
Yeah, apparently they were poachers or something, but they tormented the fuck out of that chick.
Yeah, and well, I don't want to give anything away.
Well, it's pretty much known for they strapped her to the hood of her the car,
yeah, but,
topless or I think.
But
T-O-P-L-E-S-S.
But for her rescuing that kangaroo and going through all that, what happened to the kangaroo?
Yeah. Well, no, that was an adult kangaroo.
Okay.
They took an adult kangaroo and skinned it, and I guess they cut its guts out and put it in the driver's seat of her fucking Ford Calamino-looking thing. It's a truck car.
I mean, they basically tormented this poor woman the entire movie, or what I
Australians saw. Know how to stalk women and scare them to death.
Evidently, but these guys were, like, super pissed off just because she tried to rescue a baby kangaroo.
That's all I can tell. And the cops didn't care.
No, I don't know who that guy... You remember the guy that I told you was wearing the hat and the sunglasses? And he looked like he was some kind... Well, you were half out of it.
I was, because I was so tired from Days of the Dead and everything else. I about died asleep.
Later on, he was the one running around with those poacher guys, and he looked like he should have been a game warden or something.
Oh, he was just the head. He was just with them.
He was the head bad guy?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Well, anyway, they did. They strapped her to the hood of this vehicle and cut her clothes almost off and drove around all
I'm going to have to watch it again sometime because I was half in and out, half asleep.
But I don't know how it ended because I must have been...
No, I turned it off because I was like, heck with it, I don't want to know how it ends unless I watch it.
So we don't know how it ends, so we'll have to get back with you on that.
I watched Night of the Werewolf, Paul Naschy movie from, like, and I think 1980 or at least the 80s.
Yeah.
And, they,
I heard a lot of screaming and stuff.
Yeah, well, that's a remake.
I mean, typical, you know, werewolf noises and stuff, like, you know, they were and stuff.
It was all right. I mean, it was just a kind of a remake of Werewolf Shadow that he did in the 70s.
Which you saw on
Which I think is a lot better movie, but, you know, this one, it's okay.
Oh, I thought the dog, Steve was fooling with Velcro on his shorts, and I thought the dogs were into something.
But anyway.
Anyway.
So, I'll probably dig into some of the stuff I got from Days of the Dead next time, because I'm too tired, and it's the weekend's over, so screw
it. And I've got to make Steve some banana bread before he goes to bed.
Because gotta have some banana bread before I go to bed.
My experiment with trying to make Long John Silver's fish didn't quite work out the way I wanted it to.
I see a Xena thing over there.
Yeah.
That's freaking Bruce Campbell, ain't it?
Yeah. Autolycus.
A Pelicus.
No, Autolycus was his character.
Oh.
I got a bunch of stuff out when I was looking for my Joe Bob book to take to Days of the Dead, and I was like, well... Heck, Steve's got all his figures up here. I'll just put my Xena figure out here.
Yeah, I saw some. Oh, I didn't even. I forgot I had a tall man.
Oh, Steve does have a tall man.
And a little man with him. Yeah. Whoa,
one
easy!
Of those little creatures.
Yeah, easy.
I don't know what the dogs are going
to. I don't
either. So, do we have anything else to talk about, Steve?
Nah, I'm done.
Well, so. Steve didn't even warn me that he was going to start recording. He just came in the kitchen where I was cleaning.
But I guess that's it. We'll be back next time.
Bye. Oh, don't you put that on there.